listening to Market Unplugged, a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Markets Unplugged, a weekly podcast on the stock markets where we tell you about all the action that happened during the week and the key things to watch out for next week. I'm Santosh Nair and I have with me CNBC TV 18 stocks editor Anuj Singhal. Anuj, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Santosh. Good to be with you after a long time.
Yes, same here. Anuj, so what's the mood in the market like at present? You're seeing good strength in Sensex and Nifty. However, the overall sentiment for second line shares seems to have changed a bit during the week. You had that circular from BSE, the confusion over it. So what's the situation like right now?
I think first of all, that BSE circular, I think, was overemphasized. I think that was never the reason for the mid-cap correction. That was perhaps an excuse. It didn't impact a lot of stocks. Santosh, you know what? We must not forget that while we are looking at this week's relative underperformance of the mid-cap, small caps, the year has belonged to the mid-caps and small caps. You know, the mid-caps and small caps can fall 10% from here and still have a very good year. That's been the kind of rally that we have seen in the mid-cap and the small-cap index itself. I think the Indian small-cap index perhaps is the best performing index globally. So we've got to put that as a context. This month was the return of the large-cap, and there's a technical reason for that. Entire July, the market spent in a range, and towards the end of July, we had a breakout on the Nifty, and finally we managed to take out 16,000. Whenever a breakout happens, Santosh, the next phase of the market belongs to large caps because that's the one where a lot of money flows in. From 16,000 to 16,500, it's been a sharp move on the index. I won't be surprised if we make a sharper move towards 70,000 as well. After that, large caps consolidate and mid caps and small caps again take over. That's how bull markets work, and it's no different. Also, there was a lot of froth which had built up in mid caps and small caps. And I think money making was becoming far too easy. And I think the market needed a shakeout. I think what you've seen is a brutal shakeout. You know, at the bottom, the small cap index fell about 8% from the peak. When the index falls about 8% from the peak, you can imagine what, you know, portfolios would have gone through. But I think that shakeout is nearing completion, perhaps a couple of more days. And after that, you will see the normal services resume again. But the breakout is normally reserved for the large cap for starters.
So, Anuj, what are your thoughts on the IPO market? Now, there seems to be some drop in retail applications over the last week. Also, some bit of the enthusiasm for IPO is fading.
No, I think the reason for that, Santosh, is that a couple of IPOs where the leverage players have not made money. Because, for leverage players to make money, you need, stocks to go up 70-80% on listing day. I think that's not happened in the last couple of listings. So that perhaps explains. It happens, Santosh. The IPO market, I think, was way too hot. And that also needed some kind of cool out, some kind of shakeout. And I think we had reached a stage where, IPOs come in four stages. Good issues at good price, then good issues at bad price, and bad issues at good price, and bad issues at bad price. I think we were somewhere in between second and third stage. So the market perhaps needed some bit of cool off in the IPO market as well. And I think if a couple of more IPOs do similar behavior, then I think perhaps you will see the next few IPOs perhaps come out with less greed than some of the IPOs which recently came out.
And we saw a fair bit of selling pressure in pharma shares. What's your outlook on the sector?
Yeah, pharma stocks fell mainly because the US market is seeing a lot of pricing pressure. It started with a small company called Alembic Pharma, which was the first to admit it. I think the market didn't perhaps give it as much importance. When Dr. Reddy's came and said that, look, we are seeing some pricing pressure in the US, I think that's when the street said, okay, perhaps this is some genuine selling pressure. Then you had the same play out in Lupin and in Aurobindo Pharma. And that's four or five real large stocks or real large companies saying that there's some pricing pressure in the US. And that's why, you saw this kind of pressure. It happens, Santosh, also because, keep in mind, pharma has gone through a massive bull market over the last 1 year, and the catalyst was COVID. And if the hope and the data point suggests that COVID is perhaps now coming to an end, one hopes that that is the case. Then I think pharma, perhaps the kind of re-rating that you had seen is over. But the main reason has been because the mother market, which is the US market, you're seeing a lot of pricing pressure.
And any thoughts on the API companies?
See, API is a derivative of pharma companies, so if pharma doesn't do well, but you know, APIs are still relatively more protected because it's the raw material at the end of the day, and it's a market of its own. So I think that's relatively better compared to the formulations, and that's why, you know, stocks like DVs, for example, have not fallen as much. Stocks like, you know, Granules, etc., they have not fallen perhaps as much as the pure play pharma companies.
And Anuj, we also saw a good amount of buying in banks and metal shares. Very good quarterly numbers from Tata Steel there. So how does one look at these two sectors?
I think banks saw a big rally this week because the two big components of the bank Nifty made a big comeback, both HDFC Bank and Kotak. This, Santosh, was the return of the laggards this week. So you saw a massive move play out in both these names. HDFC Bank in particular, that has, of course, still the lion's share of the bank Nifty. That rallied, and obviously that led to that big move as far as the bank Nifty is concerned. Keep in mind, despite the rally, the HDFC Bank and Kotak Mahindra Bank stocks are still about 7 to 12% off their 52-week highs. And that's the reason the bank Nifty has not reclaimed a new high, while the Nifty has already done that. So that, I think, is a bit of a technical play. A lot of money flowing into some of the laggards this week. And the biggest laggards were names like HDFC Bank. On metal, Santosh, we are part of what, you know, many people call a super cycle. I think, and in super cycle, you know, you saw what happened on Friday. Even though Tata Steel's numbers were not as great as the street had priced in, after initial disappointment, the stock just surged. And that's, I think, clearly telling you that, you know, in metals, two things are happening. For starters, the stock prices are going up, but they're going up because earnings are going up. At the same time, the price to earnings is also going up. You know, 1 year back, the earnings were depressed and the price to earnings ratios were depressed. The first stage is earnings to start exploding. That's what's happening. And the second stage is when the market says, okay, we need to give, you know, these companies are delivering good earnings, we need to give higher PEs as well. And that is also starting to happen. So it's a bit of a double, you know, sort of factor which is in play right now with the metals.
So Anuj, earnings season has finally come to an end. So what is your reading of how the earnings season has been so far?
Oh, you know, the earnings season has been absolutely a revelation, Santosh. More hits than misses. And remember, this is a time when the economy was actually supposed to be ravaged by the second wave of COVID. I think companies have adapted. I think companies know that there's inherent. What happened in the first wave was that nobody knew about COVID. Everything was shut. In the second wave, the economy was not shut. People were working from home. They were ordering out. They could not dine out, but they could order out. You know, everything turned digital. A lot of companies realized that. Advertising became digital. Sales became digital. People realized that there's still a lot of demand out there. The demand has not got hurt. In fact, people are saving more because they're working from home, so they're saving on their transport costs, and also they have more disposable income. And that's when you know, you can target that extra money. And that's what happened. And that's why the market made a distinction. Look, there were companies where obviously the earnings won't be good, like a PVR, because the cinema halls were not open. Now, you can't help there, right? Your business is like that.
Right.
But other companies where, you know, you could focus on the digital avenues, I think they did really well. And that's why I think as a whole, the earnings season was quite good.
Anuj, speaking of specific stock, especially among large caps, you saw a big up move in Bharti Airtel this week. So what's been the trigger there?
Okay, Santosh, for longest I've been saying this, that the Bharti stock is, you know, so just the best play in the Indian market in telecom. And that's because it's the pure telecom play. And we are headed towards a duopoly. I think we all know that the AGI judgment has gone against telecom companies. And now Vodafone Idea's survival is clearly and distinctly in dark. And that's why the market believes that if there's only going to be Bharti Airtel and Jio, in that case, it's in the interest of both the players to have some decent pricing in place. You've already started to see that. You know, Airtel has already announced some hike in tariffs. And I think a lot of people believe that tariff hike is the only way forward, and that will happen. More and more tariff hikes will happen. And the other thing which happened with Bharti is technically the stock used to face pressure at 620. That's when the promoters had sold their stake and the stock had topped out. Every time it's gone there, it had retreated from that. Once it made a technical breakout above that, so both technical and fundamental factors are working for Bharti Airtel now.
So Anuj, last question before we let you go. What are the key things that you're keeping an eye out for next week?
Well, the US data, Santosh, you know, because the market got a shot in the arm with the US inflation data, which sort of confirms Fed's bias that inflation is transitory. So you've got to keep an eye on the US data to reaffirm that. You've got to keep an eye on the dollar index, because dollar index had threatened to go past 93.94. It looks like perhaps that may not be the case. Domestically, we do not have too much to track because the earnings season is over. Santosh, parliament session is also over. So we'll have to keep an eye basically on the global cues. One more thing that I'll keep an eye on, though it's not impacting us right now, is that Asian markets have started to underperform the developed markets. But the reason for that is Asia is going through a brutal second wave of COVID. We, of course, were the unfortunate victims. We were the first to go through that. So perhaps we do not have to go through decline because of that. But that's one thing that you would want to keep on your radar as well.
Well, thank you, Anuj, so much for joining us on the show and sharing your insights with our listeners.
Thanks, Anuj. Thank you.
And have a great weekend.
You too.